Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We are live at Tolbert Garage Door in Mesquite, where I can report to you there is enough pizza here to feed a small battalion. So if you're thinking about coming out here, hopefully getting a G-bag flag, maybe you need to get your garage door needs taken care of, we also have pizza courtesy of CeCe's. And I'm going to try to take it even step further. If you go to CeCe's in Rockwall or Rowlett anytime today, mention that you're a Tolo, you get a free drink with your meal.
Kevin,
you're welcome.
Yeah, no, that's really awesome, too. Here's what's awesome for me is this is my neck of the woods. This is where
I grew up,
my stomping grounds. I literally grew up right across the highway, and so people are coming in, and they're like, hey, you went to BA, right? And I went to BA, or my wife went to BA. Tolo right here, just said his wife grew up in my neighborhood.
Oh.
She graduated 2 years behind me, so this is like very reflective. I'm having a great time today, man.
And then from the 214, shout out to Tolbert Garage Door. They just left my house, and my garage door is running good.
There we go.
That's the same thing they did for me 3 weeks ago. Right now. Let's turn it over, courtesy of Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. To our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Boy, you guys are really popular. That's all I got to say.
I'm saying, Mickey, you don't get to number one in this Metroplex without a lot of networking. So,
there you go.
I feel like we're going to start our conversation almost the exact same way we did last Thursday. I am alarmed when I look at the practice and injury report. I realize it was just Wednesday, but you understand why I might be alarmed, right?
Just because there was 5 guys that didn't practice and 10 were limited?
Yes. Yes.
I think from the limited group, there's a couple guys that might be more limited than others.
Which would be,
Tyler Guyton was in concussion protocol, and he was actually out there dressed for practice. So that's kind of a good sign from the limited group.
Right.
It just depends on how much he was able to do. Marshawn Nealon also, who ended up, being inactive last week with an ankle. He was out there, but again, I was just wondering how much he and Miles Sanders did. And then I think the big question marks would be Tyler Smith and Wanye Thomas, especially since Tyler didn't play last week.
Okay, so walk me through this, if you will, because I know he dressed out and was ready in case of like an emergency last week, Tyler Smith, that is. I guess I made the incorrect assumption then that he would be good to go for this game.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the reason he was dressed out is because they needed 8 offensive linemen dressed so they can elevate 2 guys off the practice squad.
Right.
Kind of reminded me of my old days in intramurals when we had a scrappy soccer team and we had just enough guys to play. And then we had 2 guys get hurt in the game. And so since to continue playing, we had 1 guy just go and kneel down in the corner of the field.
Oh, my gosh.
So we would have enough on the field.
See, I'm disappointed. I thought you were about to tell a story of when you were an offensive lineman, and I was getting really stoked to hear that story.
Well, we'll save that for another day.
Okay.
And the guy that was the assistant head of intramurals came and saw what we were doing. He goes, Mickey, no, you can't do this. This game's over with.
Oh.
Yeah. I thought I had a good idea, right? Go sit in the corner. You don't have to do anything.
Yeah, that does not seem against the rules.
No.
But
we had enough on the field.
We can't retroactively go back and fix that now, though.
So, anyway, I think that's what happened with Tyler Booker. And Tyler Smith.
Yeah, I got you.
Getting my Tylers right. The good news on Booker, who, was out, but He was at least doing resistance cord work, so that was a step in the right direction. He and CeeDee Lamb, Turpin, who was out, said he's, you know, out of the boot, and he thinks maybe next week he would be ready to go, and then we'll have to see on Donovan Wilson what happens there.
Yeah, because Donovan Wilson felt like the, I don't know, on a list that long, it might be difficult to say this. He felt like, I guess, a little bit of the surprise to pop up on the list.
Yeah.
And I know to your point, Turpin had said, yeah, probably not this weekend against the Panthers, but maybe next weekend.
Yeah, and I think maybe the same for CD, see how he gets through this week and see if he can practice next week. So, you know, I just think at some point, and you know, this is kind of a sweeping generalization, but when you play two overtime games to the end, like 10 extra minutes in two games, I think it takes a toll on guys, leaving them more susceptible to not only injuries, but not recovering from smaller things as fast as you would like after playing maybe 70 minutes in two games.
Yeah.
Mickey, how close is Donovan Ezeraku to getting this sack?
Yeah, I think he's real close.
Mark that.
Yes, because I see him, his snaps increasing each week, which means more opportunities, and he seems to be pretty darn active out there. And for a rookie to you notice when 41's out there, I think is a good step in the right direction. And I think he's adding something at an early age in the NFL to that Cowboy pass rush that we'll see if it indeed is building. You know, okay, nice one game. Now can you do it again? And I think that'll be key for Sunday against Carolina.
Yeah, because I've been telling Kevin each week, like, it seems like since we saw him in camp in the preseason games, he's added a little more, and it seems like he's getting closer and closer and closer. And so that makes me feel like the consistency will be there once he gets to that point.
Yeah, and I think the other thing he's doing, and a lot of times you don't expect this for a guy that, you know, is heralded coming out of college with 16 and a half sacks.
Yeah,
he's playing the run well. I think he's doing a better job of setting the edge and not getting caved in inside. And
which happened a lot early,
Yes, it did. And so that's one thing I think young guys have to realize. This isn't all about sacks. So you got to be able to play the run, and they certainly will need to play the run this week against Carolina.
Now, are you saying that because Rico Dowdle
buckle up?
Did so well last week, or because you've seen Bryce Young play football in the NFL?
And saw what the Jets did last week, right?
Yeah.
It's a copycat league, and they're going to look and say, oh, that's why they ran so well. So, yeah, they're going to have to do a much better job against the run than they did last week.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Leaking too many big run plays. You know, if it's just kind of consistent and they get to 100, okay, fine, but can't have those long 10, 15, 20-yard runs that they got hit for. That's just too much. So I would imagine Carolina having success in the running game with Rico last week with 206 yards, they're going to say, okay, let's see if they figured out what, you know, what they were susceptible against the Jets to see if they figured it out.
Okay, and in line with that, this is kind of about the Cowboys. It might be like your general philosophy on the NFL. The Cowboys, 2.32 seconds to generate pressure last week. That was their fastest this season. Do you think there is an inherent trade-off in run defense if you're getting to the quarterback that you know, that quickly or time and time again? Or do you just think, no, you can get to the quarterback and still play good run defense? The Cowboys just did not do that last weekend.
Yeah, and I think that it's like an overarching stat So did those pass rushes come in basically predictable pass rush downs, which you're hoping, right?
Sure.
But if they're also, you know, trying to get to the quarterback when they're running the ball, then that's a different thing. So I wonder how they judge that. Like, you can get to the quarterback after he hands off and get faked out. You better not be counting those as pressures, right?
Right, right.
So I think that, that would depend on when they got there that fast. It, you know, was it a predictable pass play, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 7? Were they doing that when there was run possibilities and then got gashed?
You made reference to the buckle up comment from Rico Dowdle. Like, I get why he said that. He had a phenomenal game last week, whereas, as you were just mentioning, the Cowboys run defense far from phenomenal last weekend. Do you go into this game and look at Rico Dowdle and say, man, I see a real deal threat in this game?
Oh, I would think, you know, regardless of where he played previously, when you put up a number like that, that's a threat. Now, I see where Chuba Hubbard did not practice. Did I see that again? Let me double check to make sure. Yeah, Hubbard DNP'd, so be interesting to see what he does today, because I would think if he doesn't practice today, you're going to get Rico Dowdle making his second start of the season. Which is, you know, okay, you know, you got your first start and you did well. And I think, you know, towards the end of the season, I think the Cowboys saw how valuable he was. But again, I went back and looked at the date. So he agreed to terms with Carolina 2 days before the start of free agency. So, you know, when they had that, that period? Tampering period, or whatever you want to call it. He had already agreed. They might have been trying to re-sign him and didn't give him the guarantees that that Carolina did. And then at the first day of free agency, the Cowboys go, okay, well, we're signing Javonte Williams for a little less guarantee and both of them on a one-year deal. So that kind of gives you some context to how it went down.
Mickey, didn't Schottenheimer's explanation of how he found Clayton Adams kind of feel like the old school way of dating before Tinder? You know, he heard about him from another friend and then went to go pursue him on the field whenever he saw him, and then they built a relationship that way.
Well, I think they were together when they were in Indianapolis, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he mentioned that it was Jack Doyle that had played under him. And so he had talked to Jack Doyle, and Jack Doyle was like, this is a guy you want to know.
Yeah, and then you just kind of, as you know, you move on, you keep track of where guys were that made an impression of you.
Yep.
And I think, he knew where he was as an offensive line coach last at Arizona. They were able to get him as a, kind of quote-unquote offensive coordinator for a title to get him as an offensive line coach. So they really doubled down on the offensive line with Clayton Adams and Connor Riley, which was a good pairing. And then I think the other thing that maybe goes unnoticed is Lunda Wells was a former offensive lineman and offensive line coach.
That's
that
true.
Became a tight ends coach. And I think those guys did a much better job run blocking, going so much to tight end offense than they had previously. So, kind of credit to him to get those guys going. If you're going to play two tight ends, the object is, okay, I got extra blockers out there. So that was a good thing.
And talking about the offensive line, I was reading something about it. I didn't know quite as much about the personality of TJ Bass as I did Brock Hoffman, but
right.
It talked about their friendship. But more importantly for Cowboys fans, it seems like those two playing alongside one another have really gelled.
Yes, no, you're exactly right. And, look back no further than training camp.
Yeah.
Because they were on the second line together.
Right
at that time. So they were used to playing with each other the previous year. At times they played alongside each other. I think it helps when you have some familiarity with so much newness on that offensive line, because really those guys there playing together next to each other probably were more familiar than the other two guys that had to start. And just have that many guys starting at once. You know, when you have backups, you go, okay, that guy's the swing tackle. And if this guy goes in, well, if we need a center or guard, he can go in. But when you need all four at the same time, I just think that's unprecedented, especially here with the Cowboys, to have that happen with that much success running for 180 yards.
Yeah, I will be very intrigued to see that part of the offensive line, or I guess whatever combination we put out there going forward.
Just put all the linemen
yeah,
out there, Kevin.
Look, that's kind of what he
I'm
said with the tight
all
ends.
Them, yeah.
All right, well, thank you very much for the time, good sir. We will catch up with you again tomorrow.
All right, good day for Friday.
Hey, I'll find out if it's a good day when I see that injury report later today, okay?
See if it like slims down just a little bit.
Look,
and that'll help his prediction.
Well, weren't
for
you
tomorrow.
Glad to see three guys full, though?
I was, but can I tell you a trap I fall into with the injury report? I don't know if you ever do this. Well, I guess you're out at practice and everything. Is I just open it up, and if I see it's a long list, I don't always take the time at first to look at the designations. I'm just like, my God, there's still 18 people on here. And then I calm down and look at the designations and go about my day.
Yeah, the limited, sometimes you're just covering yourself. Because the guy didn't take all the snaps or, you know, and how much he actually practiced. So you kind of got to list those guys. So it goes on in the league. Everybody doesn't want to try and get fined for hiding things. So if you're limited, you're in limbo there on being active on Sunday.
True. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Sir. We'll catch you tomorrow.
Sure thing.
There you go, Mickey Spagnuolo right here on 105 Through the Fan. Alec, quick question for you. Did you hear that captivating question that Corey asked Mickey about Donovan Ezeraco?
Everybody heard it.
Yeah, everybody did.
Everybody heard it.
All
they've all texted in.
Watts.
Hey, Alec, make sure to mark that for night for Friday.
Yeah. Oh. Do you think Mickey's mad that he's like, well, I just lost Masterpiece of the Week to
you
Corey?
You heard him laughing. You could hear him laughing.
Good.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.